Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, happy Sunday and welcome to the Sunday Brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. We got a great show for you. We're going to end the show tonight a little differently. You're going to get a little great music, a brand new single by the country singer and actor. Remember, you went all the way back to Dukes of Hazzard, John Schneider, a true American patriot with a true new song. It is an incredible song. She's worth it. She's worth it, meaning our country. For those who denigrate our country while living and enjoying its benefits, John Schneider has a powerful message, and he also has a powerful interview. We're going to anchor our show with him tonight, so I want you to look forward to that. But we're going to kick things off down to the border, where chaos and lawlessness continue to plague our poor Custom and Border Patrol agents. The head of the union, Brandon Judd, who represents those Border Patrol agents, is going to join us at the top of the show. He's got a lot to talk about, including a new memo we surfaced this week, confirming that the United States government is losing track of every illegal alien it sends into the interior of the country. In the second block, Rep. Ben Klein is going to be here. He's a congressman from Virginia on the front lines of some of the most important battles, and he will be an impeachment manager. That's a big deal. And the Mayorkas impeachment, he'll describe what's up with that. Kash Patel, our good friend, we're going to talk Russia collusion and, of course, one of my favorite topics, the Biden impeachment story and all we've learned about the grift and corruption in the Biden family. That'll be in the third block. Michael Falklander, one of the great economists and economic thinkers. We're going to talk about why inflation is so stubborn and why the Biden administration is just not telling us the truth. And then, of course, we'll finish up with the one, the only, John Schneider, to wrap up this Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. We'll be right back after these messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties.
You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
The insecure and chaotic border that Joe Biden has brought to this nation. We now know, in the writing to the Washington Post, Homeland Security said out loud what we've known privately for a long time. The people that are being tracked to the inside of our interior country, they're not being tracked. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they go. That is not a good security posture. And our first guest tonight, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd. He's been warning about this for a long time. Brandon, I know this document doesn't surprise you, but I guess it's rewarding to know it's committed to writing now.
Yeah, we've known this. John, you and I have talked about this. Amanda, we've talked about this. We know that these people, that once they're let go, they're never going to leave the country. And the reason they're never going to leave the country is because we're not going to go after them when they fail to appear at, whether that's a court appearance, whether that's appointment with CIS or ICRO, they're just not going to show up. And once they don't show up, then they're free to go wherever they want, because Secretary Mayorkas early on in this administration said that the act of being in the country illegally alone is not enough for an enforcement action. So what I have advised members of Congress on this impeachment, and we're going into a trial now, what they need to do is they need to focus on that aspect. They shouldn't be talking about the releases. The Supreme Court has already ruled that there is prosecutorial discretion, that they can release people into the United States. But what they have not talked about, and where he is breaking the law, is when he allows these people to evade apprehension after they violate their order to appear, or when they're ordered in order deported in absentia. Once that happens, he has an obligation under the law to find these individuals and ensure that they leave the country. And he's not doing that, which shows that he is clearly in violation of the law. And based upon that, he should be removed from office.
Wow, important.
Yeah. Well, and Brandon, if our border survives beyond this administration, let's say that Donald Trump does win, and let's say that he is able to impose and put together some type of deportation unit. These people don't have their real names. They ditch their IDs at the border, as we have seen so many of those passports and licenses and other forms of ID completely discarded. So even if there was some type of mechanism to remove these people, we'll never even find them because they don't have their real name.
Well, and it's not just that. It's the sheer numbers. When you look at ICRO, we're talking about, I believe it's 4,000 ICE officers nationwide. That's not enough to go after 8 million people that have been able to make it into this country since Biden has been in office. 6 million have been released. 2 million have been able to evade apprehension. So you're talking about a couple thousand people. You cannot remove that many people with those resources. So it's not just that we don't know who they are. It's not just that we don't know where they're at. It's that we don't have the resources to go after them. And that's why this is such an unmitigated disaster. When you look at this, when you look at, they estimated that there were 10 million people in the country illegally before Biden even came into office, and now he's added another 8 million people since that time. You know, you're talking 18 million people. There's just no way these people are ever leaving the country. And that's why it's so important that we stop the sieve today. We've got to stop it so we're not letting even more people in there, to give us at least a fighting chance of doing what we need to do when Biden is no longer in office.
Yeah. That's some good words of wisdom. I hope some lawmakers are listening and watching tonight. So I want to turn to something that continues to pile up, this extraordinary inflow of Chinese military age young men coming into the country. Hundreds just in the last few days, 24,000, I think, in the last year, maybe 25,000. What is the best intel? Why are these guys coming into the country? And why are so many Chinese nationals seeming to be associated with these illegal marijuana mills that are cropping up around the country?
So the intelligence community is still looking at that. Why is it? Why are we seeing this influx? At best, they're just coming here for a better life, for a better job. At worst, they're coming here to be part of the Chinese government. And that's what scares me an awful lot. Now, what I don't want to do is I don't want to cause mass hysteria to where United States citizens are violent towards Chinese people from China. However, we have to look and we have to allow the intelligence community to do their job. We've got to let law enforcement do their job to look into these individuals. Why are they here? What is their purpose here? Again, at best, they're here for a better life. At worst, they're here to be part of the Chinese government to infiltrate our own country. But in the middle of that, like what you just said, they're also here for criminal enterprise. We know that the Chinese have huge gangs here in the United States, and they control certain parts of our country. They control the drug flow. They control the prostitution. They control everything that's illegal in certain portions of the country, and we have to look into that. It's very important that we understand why are we having so many people from China, especially military-aged men from China. What is the purpose? What is going on behind this? And I hope that the law enforcement, I'm hoping the intelligence community can get an answer to that quickly so that we can do something about it.
So important.
Yeah, Brandon, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned the cartels. I remember the numbers pertaining to cartel revenue under President Trump, and it waffled around $500 million, which is absolutely awful, but it absolutely exploded. I think it was 26 times to $13 billion under Joe Biden. I imagine that number has exploded exponentially even since, because that statistic, I think, is from early last year. So now the cartels are making even more money, are they not?
Yeah, they are. Every single year, we're breaking records with illegal immigration. We're breaking records with the amount of drugs that are coming in. And Amanda, it gets worse than that. These aren't just cartels that operate in Mexico anymore. These are transnational criminal organizations. We know that China has a hand in these organizations now. And once they gain a foothold, they never let go. They're going to control everything that is coming into our country illegally. They're going to control the methamphetamines. They're going to control the fentanyl. They're going to control the aliens from special interest countries. They're going to control the criminal aliens. They are going to control every single aspect of this, which is going to make this problem even more dangerous than when it was just Mexican cartels that controlled everything. That's just one more reason that we have to get control of this situation right now rather than later.
Yeah, you're so right. Brandon, earlier this week, I got a chance to see a series of documents about an Afghan national that was on the terrorist watch list. He got in, stopped by the good men and women of the Border Patrol, thankfully. When he was interviewed, he detailed how he used the Colombian drug cartels to get in the country. I think it cost him $3,000 to get shipped in. I don't know if you know about that specific episode, but can you tell us the nexus between people that may have bad intentions and the cartels sort of being their concierge service into the country?
Well, that's how they make it here. You know, I get asked all the time, well, how do people from China make it to the United States? Are they traveling legally? Well, it's all facilitated by the cartels. They pay a small upfront fee. When they make it to the United States, they pay off the entire fee. They're going into indentured servitude in order to get here. But the cartels are organizing all of this travel. They are facilitating all of the travel. And then they're coaching them on exactly what they need to say once they make it to our borders. And it's not just, you know, this particular incident that you spoke about. We're seeing this on a regular basis. And unfortunately, because we can't properly vet these individuals, if they give us false names, if they give us false date of birth, false countries of citizenship, the burden of proof falls on us to show that information is incorrect. And if they don't have proper documents, it becomes extremely difficult for us to be able to do that, because we don't have access to criminal databases around the world. All we have access to is what we know here in the United States or Interpol hits. Minus that, we have nothing.
What a frightening posture.
Absolutely. And I guess I'm just trying to find a sunny side with respect to some type of legislation. Obviously, that Senate border bill failed. House said no, absolutely dead on arrival. There's still H.R. 2 out there. This was a piece of legislation that was authored and built by this majority, a good piece of legislation within the first few months of them taking the majority. Senate claim, you know, it's just sitting over in the Senate. What do you think is the future for H.R. 2? And is it a viable piece of legislation that can get put into place anytime soon enough to try to fix this problem?
So, Amanda, H.R. 2 is the perfect bill. Unfortunately, it's a partisan bill. And we know that partisan bills are not going to get passed. You have to have bipartisan support. Otherwise, it's going to be DOA on whatever chamber it comes to. So it would be akin to the Senate passing an open borders bill that would be on party line, then send it over to the House and the House would just kill it. And that's what we saw with this bill. Even though this would protect United States citizens, we know the far left liberals do not want a closed border. We know that they want it open. We know that that serves their purpose. That serves their ultimate goal. So they're going to kill anything that isn't bipartisan. That's why I was disappointed that the Senate bill got shot down, because it was bipartisan. It had a chance to make it. And although it wasn't perfect, it absolutely gave us certain tools that would have allowed us to do much better on the border than what we're currently doing.
Folks, don't go anywhere. Congressman Ben Klein, one of the impeachment managers for the Mayorkas impeachment, he'll be prosecuting the case in the Senate if the Senate allows a trial. He'll be here next.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're really lucky to be joined today by Virginia Congressman Ben Klein. He happens to represent one of the districts where I have a house. He was just named to be Speaker Mike Johnson to be one of the 11 impeachment managers should there be an impeachment trial in the Senate. Congressman, great to have you back on the show.
John, it's good to be with you. You know, I always like it when Amanda's with you, but I'm glad to have you talking this evening as well.
Yep, it's a big loss anytime Amanda's not on the show, but I'm going to struggle through because I got a great interview here. Let's start with what happens tonight. What's your gut tell you about how close this vote will be and whether it could potentially pass tonight?
Well, it is going to be a nail biter. We're unsure whether we are going to be fully at 100% participation by Republicans. We do have our majority leader, Steve Scalise, back in town. But we also know that there's snow in the New York area, and that is delaying flights. And so being that it's a fly-in day, you never know who's going to get on the wrong end of a flight and get here late. So the vote may actually be kept open for several hours as we wait for everybody to get here.
Wow, that's amazing. Nothing like Mother Nature to get in the way of a political event in Washington. You have been named an impeachment manager should this get to the Senate. That's a very prestigious responsibility and carries a lot of weight. In your own words, where do you believe Secretary Mayorkas has committed high crimes and misdemeanors in his role as Homeland Security Secretary?
Well, he certainly has violated his oath of office to the American people to uphold the laws of the United States. We have laws on the books regarding people who show up at the border requesting asylum. They need to be detained. They aren't eligible for parole. Parole is not meant to be used for wide classifications of people coming into the country. And so, by failing to implement the laws as they have been written and detain these aliens for expulsion from the country or removal back to their country of origin, he is violating the laws. Now, when you have a cabinet secretary, for whatever reason, willfully violating the laws of the United States, we have a responsibility as the body that actually enacted those laws, or many of those laws, to take action. And so removing this individual, yes, he has not been convicted in a court of law, but that is not required under our impeachment statutes. He's been confirmed by the Senate in a political action. He can be removed by the House with the Senate voting to remove him again in a political action. It doesn't require a court of law, and that's what we've concluded in the Homeland Security Committee, and hopefully we will endorse his impeachment on the House floor tonight.
Yeah, it's such a momentous moment. I mean, this hasn't happened in more than a century and a half, having a cabinet officer be removed this way. So it's a very important vote tonight. Everywhere in this country, it doesn't matter whether you're upstate New York, the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, or Texas, people really feel the impact of this insecure border, the fentanyl crisis, the crimes that are coming in. They hear about the terrorists. Today we talked about an Afghan terrorist who or someone on the terrorist watch list that got apprehended. He said, oh, the Colombian drug cartels, I paid him $3,000. They got me into the country. It seems like everybody in this country for the first time understands that they're in a border state, no matter your proximity. How important is that to giving moral authority to what you guys are trying to do tonight?
Well, it's extremely important. If you ask most Americans, it's at the top of the issues list of most important issues facing the country, recognizing that we have a national security crisis on our hands. It's not just a humanitarian crisis at the border, and it very much is a humanitarian crisis when you consider the sexual abuse, the child trafficking, the sex trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking that goes on at the border. People are dying each and every day trying to make this journey due to the encouragement of the Homeland Security Secretary and the President of the United States through his official policies. And so we have people dying on the journey up here. We have people who are, once they get into the country, often being handed over to illegal actors, whether they be sex traffickers, drug traffickers. And within the United States, we have horrible crimes being committed against these individuals. And then we have individuals who come in with malintent who are committing crimes once they get in here. And we, in every state, Virginia included, we see stories of whether it's a drunk driver who slams into individuals, killing them, and that's happened in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and these people are here illegally. So lives are being lost in this country. It's not going unnoticed by the American people. They want to see action, they want to see the border enforced, and they want to see Alexander Mayorkas impeached.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that people are, they've had it up to the limit now, and they're looking for Congress to act. I want to ask about what Congressman Banks said in the podcast today. He said, hey, listen, everything Mayorkas done, Biden sanctioned. So when we, if we get to impeachment of Joe Biden, I think that there should be an article related to the border. I'd like to get your thoughts on that, because you've really done a lot of work on this border crisis. Is that a possible logical step for Republicans?
Well, it is. And I've always said that part of our investigation into the president's actions needs to be more than just his the combination of his family members working to enrich themselves and the president through their shady business dealings around the world. We have to look at what essentially is a high crime or misdemeanor by the president if he indeed gave Secretary Mayorkas instructions to not enforce our borders, essentially ignore U.S. law and ignore our detention policies, ignore our parole laws, and allow these people into the country. And you've seen how many people on the terrorist watch list have come across the border. Yeah. It is truly threatening our national security. And if that's not a high crime and misdemeanor, I don't know what is.
Yeah, so it's just shocking, the numbers. New numbers just came out a few minutes ago for January. They're just as bleak as December. Sir, I want to talk a little bit about the $95.3 billion bill that the Senate sent over. Nothing for the border, plenty for Ukraine, some for Israel. I know the Speaker said it's already dead on arrival. What's a likely outcome? I know you work on a lot of the important fiscal issues in Congress. What's a possible way that the American people can get a win out of a bill that a lot of people don't like?
Well, I think what you're going to see in terms of a win would be no action by the House on this legislation. This bill includes, as you said, money for Ukraine, following on the more than $100 billion that American taxpayers have already sent to Ukraine, when we have zero accountability for the dollars that have already been spent, and when we try and put in place measures not just for accountability, but also to measure what definition of success would be in Ukraine, Democrats voted it down with the help of some Republicans. So we have an administration that doesn't know what success is, can't define success in Ukraine, and wants to send more taxpayer dollars into this black hole of a proxy war. And then you have aid to Israel, our dependable ally in the Middle East. We have, you know, voted on Israel aid that has been paid for. It languishes in the Senate. We voted for Israel aid without a pay for. It died because Republicans joined Democrats to vote it down. But, you know, we are willing to help our Democratic ally Israel because of the historic cultural, national security and economic ties that bind us. But we can't tie it to Ukrainian aid that is once again, following on the $100 billion that goes unaccounted for in Ukraine at this point.
Yeah, really stunning. So we got about a minute left. I want to ask you, Seth, you've been privy as a member of the House Judiciary Committee to all of these extraordinary interviews of the business partners of the Biden family. And yet we now have proof from Wal Barker. He met with Chairman Yi of the Chinese Energy Company. He met with the executive from Burisma. He met basically with every major paying client that Hunter Biden was collecting big money on while the vice president was vice president. Joe Biden was vice president. How damning is this evidence, and what should the American public take? We got about a minute left.
The evidence continues to mount. Chairman Comer and Chairman Jordan are doing an amazing job building that case. And we are looking forward in the Judiciary Committee to hearing those facts out, presenting them to the American people in an orderly fashion, and following the facts where they lead. I think it's overwhelming, the evidence that we have to support the bribery charges that are evident. And we look forward to laying those out for the American people.
All right, folks, my good friend and the author of the incredible book, Government Gangsters, Cash Patel, up next after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, America. In the last 36 hours or so, we've seen a lot of movement by lawyers in the legal cases levied against former President Donald Trump. For instance, Trump wanted to further litigate the claim that the federal indictment should be dismissed on the grounds of presidential immunity. And the 2024 GOP frontrunner has since asked the Supreme Court to step in and block the U.S. Court of Appeals decision that didn't side with him on that issue. Now, however, Special Counsel Jack Smith filed a response pressing the Supreme Court to reject an emergency application filed by the former president's legal team. And the legacy media that consistently leans left published an article vilifying the ex-president for utilizing his constitutional rights as an American citizen, publishing headlines stating that he's using the Supreme Court as a delay tactic. Well, our next guest knows the 45th president very well after working in his administration, and he's here to help us break down the latest in the Trump and Fannie Willis legal cases. Cash Patel, great to see you. Thank you for being here.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I want to go down to Georgia first because a lot of us caught the court proceedings with Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. And Cash, I just have to ask you, have you ever in your life taken a girlfriend slash colleague on a bougie trip, bought her fancy dinners, taken her on cruises, paid for activities on the cruises, and then she reimbursed you in cash?
I don't even know where to begin with this. And indeed, the devil went down to Georgia in this hearing today.
Indeed.
I mean, it is one of the most preposterous and quite frankly, let's just put the seriousness up front, because we could be comedic about this all we want. As a former prosecutor and defense attorney, the fact that we are watching this unfold, not on Jerry Springer, but on national TV in a prosecution of the presidency of the United States. This has been a degradation of the judicial system for a decade, if not more, that she has been allowed to conceal improper activity and conduct to include money going her way from the taxpayers, all the while prosecuting the very target of her campaign funding source, shows you the depravity and intentions with which she brought this prosecution, which is completely baseless. And I got to give the judge credit on this one down here. He was magnanimous. There would have been a million times where I would have lost it either as defense counsel or the other or someone in his seat. And I think and I hope that in order to the benefit of justice, because there is no other decision here than to remove her not only from the case and throw it out, but have her and Wade and Willis disbarred immediately from ever doing this type of conduct again.
Yeah. And I want to ask you what you think from the judge's questions, his interventions, his admonition. I mean, I've covered a lot of court cases. I've never seen the chief U.S. attorney or the chief district attorney, anyone be told by the judge, if you don't stop it, I'm going to strike your testimony. It was such an amazing moment. She obviously didn't win any accolades with the judge. But from what you saw today, what is the record that the judge is going to be making his decision on?
Well, that's the one thing you raise that no one really ever talks about. And that's what you see and the tenor and the character of the witnesses and people in the courtroom. A transcript doesn't give you that. And this judge allowed, he was very flexible to Miss Willis and her testimony. And she came barreling in there when the proceedings hadn't even started, which is a wholly improper for a witness to come in before she's called, because she's what, the district attorney, and somehow the rules are different for her. That just highlights to you what she thinks of this judicial system and judicial proceedings. She, on the one hand, will use it unlawfully to prosecute President Trump, but then hijack that system when it inures to her benefit to rewrite the rules and scream that somehow she's being targeted because she's black and a woman. Well, let me tell you something as a brown man and a minority who served in multiple government positions. It is a highly offensive, if not the most offensive thing I've ever seen from a judicial officer, to come in and baselessly use race, which is what CNN and MSNBC will hijack on, and Al Sharpton and the race hustlers over there, to say that her, and who did she call her paramour to be? A black man who says women should not be doing more than making sandwiches for them. She had an affair with this guy, and she's telling us that we're the racist and we're the race hustlers, and that she's to be charged with the justice of the laws of Georgia to prosecute a presidential candidate. It's disgusting.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I remember once upon a time when a federal prosecutor's job and behavior and responsibilities were sacrosanct. And it seems like this has become a very offensive situation for a lot of people like you who have served in that position. I wanted to ask you about this CNN headline. You know, President Trump is fighting the legal system tooth and nail within the constitutional, you know, abilities that he can. And they ran this headline, and I think they called it a gambit, and that it's a blatant delay tactic. And I thought to myself, okay, and? Because nothing could be more obvious that all of these cases, whether it's the devil down in Georgia, whether it's New York, Washington, or Florida, it is obviously election interference, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing. Actually, it's not amazing. It's kind of, the next logical step for CNN to rewrite the Constitution and how it applies to Donald Trump. Let's just go back and look at the linear steps of this case, the Trump case. Who was the individual that first asked the United States Supreme Court to put the Trump issue of presidential immunity before them on a high-speed lane? Jack Smith. Donald Trump didn't do that. Jack Smith did that after Judge Chutkan denied Donald Trump's motion because he wanted the issue resolved with expediency. And now that Donald Trump has implemented his constitutional right to go to an appellate court and then his constitutional right to go to the Supreme Court, Jack Smith is now coming in and saying, you, the U.S. Supreme Court, who I asked to review President Trump's claim of presidential immunity with expediency, deny that constitutional right. This is the ultimate hypocrisy of the ways of this Department of Justice and these rogue prosecutors under Merrick Garland. They are nothing but jackals of justice, and they will continue to be held up or propped up in the media by CNN. But I think Americans are starting to see the hypocrisy between Georgia and this case and so many of the other Trump prosecutions, that they will rewrite the Constitution when it benefits them.
Yeah. Cash, I want to turn to what happened in Congress this week. Faison was on the one-yard line for reform. It looked like Jim Jordan's version of the reform was going to win.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Chairman Turner comes up and says, serious natural gas, need emergency briefing. By the way, the briefing was already underway, so there was no reason for him to go public. Why did he do this? And from what we understand, this intelligence has been around a couple of years. So what the heck?
I don't know. Look, between the three of us here, there might not be people who wanted 702 reform more than other Americans, because you guys have been reporting on it for so long. And I don't know the internal gymnastics there and why we couldn't get it done. We've implemented these reforms from our Russiagate days way back in the day. So I really don't have an answer on that one. It's just it's upsetting that after the FISC came out and said Chris Wray abused FISA another 274,000 times illegally against American citizens, we don't get 702 reform done. And then on the intel thing, look, let's say Mike Turner's right. Whatever your feelings are about him, let's put them aside. If there's a threat to the United States of America, I want everybody in a position of power on the same page. I want the National Security Advisor and the President and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the SecDef to say, we have neutralized the threat. Thank you for bringing it over to our attention. It's been neutralized, and there'll be a briefing or a statement from the President in the next 24 hours. We've seen none of that. Putting aside the fact that I don't trust them to do any of that in defense of this nation, I'm just saying I don't understand why there's this jockeying on Capitol Hill between Intel and FISA 702 reform. They don't have anything to do with each other, and now we've only weakened national security.
All right, get your green shades out, your calculators out. We're going to dive into why the economy is so stubbornly inflated. Michael Falklander, one of the best thinkers in all of American economics today. He'll be here in just a few minutes.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back, America. Over the weekend, I had a story that I was very proud of. A new watchdog report said the IRS is failing to protect Americans' taxpayer debt. Even after the huge criminal leak of Donald Trump's taxes, there are still contractors that have access to the sensitive databases of our taxes that had negative background reviews or had left the IRS and still had their access. Those are tremendous failures. And it felt for me a little bit like deja vu all over again, because back when I was an AP reporter in the early 2000s, I did work on the same issues. And when I was a Washington Post reporter in 2007, my team worked on similar things. And 22 and 17 years later, the same problems exist at the IRS. If nothing else, the IRS is consistent. We've got a perfect guest joining us now to help us referee what's so wrong with this. Michael Falklander, is a former Assistant Secretary of Treasury for President Trump and Professor of Finance at the University of Maryland. He joins us right now. Michael, great to have you back on.
Great to be with you, John.
You know, every company has cyber policies, and it's a really simple thing. If someone leaves, you close their accounts down, and if they have a bad background check, you cut them off from sensitive stuff. IRS doesn't seem to get this, does it?
Well, and this is the part I don't understand, because, you know, when I left the administration on January 20th of 2021, I had to hand all over my materials. I had zero access to any of my previous emails. You know, I have to FOIA myself if I want to know what email I sent. And yet we're sitting here allowing contractors, not people with top secret security clearances who have been confirmed by the Senate, but contractors to still have access to information that they have no business having access to. You know, there's two types of information that the American people are most concerned about when it comes to their own personal lives. It's their healthcare information and their financial information. Yeah. And as part of our tax system, we provide a significant amount of information to the IRS. And it really is incumbent upon the IRS to make sure that that information is protected. Secretary Mnuchin was adamant about making sure that we upgrade the facilities, the IT infrastructure at the IRS, and the fact that simple things like removing access of contractors to this type of information just is inexcusable and a complete failure on the part of the Treasury Secretary and the IRS.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and Michael, I think about the next piece of this puzzle, because if an American taxpayer's data was released, it fell into nefarious hands, their identity was stolen, someone, you know, took out a loan against the equity in their home, can they sue the IRS?
Well, the problem that we've got is that the Justice Department will probably claim that there's some kind of immunity associated with this activity and you wouldn't be able to go after them. The bigger problem that we've got here in the case of the leaked tax returns is that it was done for political purposes, right? It was that there was a political agenda at play. And I really think that the Justice Department went rather lenient on everybody involved in this because there was an underlying political purpose of exposing the taxpayer information of certain Americans in complete violation of the confidentiality agreement. But it's being done to pursue a political agenda. And it's this weaponization of institutions like the IRS that really are causing the American people to have enormous distrust. It's not good for our nation. It's not good for our democracy to create this kind of distrust with institutions that really need to have the full confidence of the American people. And that's why it's so discouraging to see that not only is the IRS not addressing these issues that go back, as John says, decades, but the Justice Department is not going after this particular person anywhere near as strongly as I think that they should have.
Yeah, That's a very important point. And there's not much deterrence based on the way that one case with Mr. Littlejohn ended up finishing up. So I want to turn to something else. President Biden skipped a Super Bowl interview, but he put a little cute video out saying, "I've got shrinkflation," and I think he was trying to suggest that maybe he had inflation under control. The very next day, inflation went up higher than anyone expected. The markets went down. The only thing shrinking is our investments and our buying power of our wallet. Why is inflation so stubborn under this president?
Yeah, so when the president came into office, the very first initiative was the American Rescue Plan. We were already largely on our way to getting the economy back to where it was prior to the pandemic. About 85% of economic output had already returned by then. The unemployment rate was down to 7%. And remember that we were on the verge of unleashing 3 new vaccines at the end of the Trump administration. All of those things were already going to get us back to an economy where we needed it to be. And yet the Biden administration and the Democratic Congress insisted on throwing another $2 trillion into that economy. That's naturally going to overheat everything. And we're still dealing with it today. And just so people, I know that the American people are feeling this, but just to put some numbers on it, since President Biden took office, prices on average have risen 18%. Over that same first 3 years of the Trump administration, they were only up 6, right? When prices are increasing at 3 times the pace that they were under the previous administration, 3 times the pace that the Federal Reserve policy calls for, it demonstrates the fundamental failure of Bidenomics. And so even though price increases are slowing, they're still increasing, right? So instead of going up at 9% a year, they're down to about 3%, but they're still rising much faster than the American people can handle it. That's why they're seeing the depletion of their savings. It's why we're seeing credit card debt take off. And the other problem is that once inflation gets into the system, it's really hard to get it out. It lingers, it finds its way into the increases in wages that people demand. And to the extent that people think inflation is going to be high in the future, they're going to demand high wage increases in order to offset it. And that just sets the standard for next year's inflation. So it's going to take a while. If we get back to the 2% target, it's going to take a little bit longer. And that's why the Fed is not declaring victory yet. And that's why I think it's entirely premature for the market to think that we're going to have significant rate cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they shouldn't be claiming any sort of victory at this point. I wanted to ask you, though, about the messaging regarding shrinkflation, because in this video, Joe Biden is basically blaming businesses for putting out smaller packages that cost the same price. And I think of this old adage, an ugly person blames the mirror. because shrinkflation is ultimately a result of inflation. It's the other side of the same coin. But is there a certain sector of society who maybe doesn't necessarily follow financial news or economic news who buys that?
Yeah, so when you think about the choice that businesses and manufacturers have when they've got the cost of their inputs going up, there's one of two things they can do. They can keep the product the same quantity that it currently is and raise the price, or they mm-hmm. can keep the price the same and reduce the amount that goes into that amount of you know, the bag of chips in this case that we might be talking about. And it may very well be the case that it's better for consumers to reduce the quantity that comes in a particular package. That may be a better outcome for consumers if they wanted smaller quantities and to keep the price the same so that it doesn't have the impact on their budget. But the source of that is the fact that the input costs went up due to the inflation that we've had throughout this administration.
All right, we're going to end the show today with an extraordinary patriotic moment with a great American patriot. He's an actor, goes all the way back to the great days of Dukes of Hazzard, a great country singer as well, John Schneider, with an incredible new song, She's Worth It. He's going to explain what we're talking about. We're talking, it's a Valentine to America. This was Valentine's week. This was John Schneider's love song to America, reminding so many Americans today who diss our country, they're on the wrong side of that thought. John Schneider here to wrap things up on the Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
As you might be aware by now, Monday is a federal holiday. It's President's Day. And while many of us get to observe this holiday and celebrate the life of George Washington, some others might not. And I feel like this news cycle has been very challenging and discouraging to some people. So I think it's time that John and I break into an entertainment-based segment to relax some of our minds as we head off into this upcoming weekend. And we have the perfect guest to do just that. While many of you will recognize him as Beau Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard or Jonathan Kent on Smallville, others might know him for his music and moonshine. And on Valentine's Day, John Schneider released a new single and music video titled She's Worth It to remind everyone that no matter what we have going on here at home or even abroad, we Americans live in the single greatest expression of freedom the world has ever known. Now, joining us to talk about his latest work is none other than the legendary John Schneider. Sir, thank you so much for being here, and happy belated Valentine's Day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Happy belated Valentine's Day.
Thank you, sir.
My goodness. My goodness. I appreciate you helping to promote this song. It's very, very important to me. And as you said, it was my Valentine's Day gift to our country. And I've had a lot of people who have shown their appreciation for that. It's better than chocolate.
I agree. Absolutely. This endures and it doesn't go straight to your hips. I wanted to ask you about the inspiration for this song. Unless you're dancing, then I guess it does go straight to your hips. I wanted to ask you about your inspiration for this song because, you know, so many of us have seen a depression in patriotic society in America. When I was growing up, when we all were growing up, you know, we said the Pledge of Allegiance with fervor and, you know, showed patriotism every chance we got. And that just doesn't seem to be a part of this younger generation. I imagine that factored into you writing and performing the song.
Oh, tremendously, though, tremendously, because you just played a lyric there. It's a duty, it's a right, an obligation to stand up for her and fight because she's our nation. When I was a kid, we all did, like you said, the Pledge of Allegiance. We did the Star-Spangled Banner. We sang America the Beautiful. You know, we were always patriotic. It was just ingrained in us. Well, I have a pretty good Facebook presence, and a couple of years ago, I noticed that when I would say things on my Facebook page, and I would kind of take it for granted, well, you know that we live in the single greatest country the world has ever known, I started to get some kickback from that, especially from younger people that seemed to be being taught that the United States of America was not the single greatest country in the history of the world. And yes, I understand we all have our issues and our problems, but my gosh, this is where freedom was born. This is where freedom is kept. So I started debating back and forth with these folks, and then I realized that they've been taught intentionally quite the opposite, that America is a problematic country that stems from dark, terrible, secret roots. And I determined that I was going to fight that with everything I got, or everything I have, rather. And I wrote this song as a Valentine's Day card to America, but also as one song that's going to be in an entire patriotic album that I plan on having out for it by the 4th of July.
Oh, fantastic.
Because if they don't know that, then, they haven't been taught that. They've been taught quite the opposite. It's really difficult. You can't blame someone for not knowing something if they've been intentionally deceived. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to come against that, and I'm going to educate not only young people, but, tired older folks like me, that we do, in fact, live in the single greatest country the world has ever known.
Yeah. What a great gift to America. And I can't wait for the whole album. It could be at the top of my playlist right away. You said something very important. You used the word taught. And I had a couple episodes this week. We had some people throw some chemicals on the Constitution and just desecrate that at the National Archives. And today I was in the Capitol and some young staffers came up and they were actually triggered and angry that I wore a tie with a flag on it. I couldn't believe it. I'm in the U.S. Capitol. But it does seem that the education system took a turn somewhere in the last 10 or 20 years. Have you given some thought about where that starting point began so we can go back and reverse it?
Well, first of all, they're doing it intentionally. I have a lot of conservative friends, obviously, and they think if they can just come up with the right argument that they'll be able to say something that the left will understand and go, oh, now I understand where I'm making a mistake. Make no mistake, this is intentional. They are uneducating, de-educating, reverse educating our youth so that 10 years from now, the whole notion of freedom, the whole notion of the First Amendment, the notion of the Second Amendment will no longer apply to that generation. Personally, I think the dumbing down of American culture started during the Clinton administration. I think as soon as we were invited into the dark, nasty places of the single highest ranking public servant in the United States, that we started to lose respect for the government. We started to lose respect certainly for the president or the office of president. And I think it's kind of devolved. I'm a Trump fan. I think we got hold of things again for at least 4 years, which drove them absolutely crazy. Because remember, this is intentional. Yeah. They want martial law. They want, I love this analogy. A vampire can't come into your house uninvited. You have to invite them in. Once you've done that, it's very difficult to get them to leave, according to the legend of vampires in movies. I think what they're trying to do is get us to drop our guard to the point where we will invite in martial law, not only in the United States, but invite the military to run the world. Hello, globalists. And then freedom is gone. As we know it, freedom is gone. And if we lose that here in the United States of America, then the entire notion and hope of freedom globally goes away. And then they win. We can't let it happen.
Yeah, we can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Sir, we've just got a few minutes left. I'll be the ever optimist person here because we saw the huge success of films like Top Gun take place a few years ago. With respect to the Second Amendment, we are now a majority constitutional carry country. We are seeing an explosion of the parallel economy. Do you think that maybe freedom and patriotism is making a comeback with a certain sector of society, and we can expand that to others?
Well, absolutely. I think what my grandparents would have said is give them enough rope so they can hang themselves. Well, the notion of defunding the police, how's that working out for you?
Yeah.
The notion of a secure border, how's that working out for you, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Fentanyl? You know, we I'm sorry, the sun, my goodness, the sun is so bright. But we have gotten to the point now where their argument is inarguable. So we have got to do something. And we've decided, like in the wonderful movie from decades ago, Network, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. So we are now really thinking about our children and our grandchildren and their grandchildren. And we realize that we've got to do something, because terrible things happen when good people do nothing.
Oh, that
absolutely
is so true. So true, my friend.
John, we've just got a few seconds left. I wanted to get a link. Where can people find your music and everything that you're doing?
Go to johnschneiderstudios.com. That's johnschneiderstudios.com. Awesome. Or you can download my app. It's free on the App Store. It's called John Schneider. Imagine that.
Guess what? We've got the extraordinary song, She's Worth It, from John Schneider.
And walk away, ignore the fires burning, live to fight another day. But I'm believing that no matter what it takes, her amber waves of grain should grow forever. It's a duty, it's a right, an obligation to stand for her and fight, for she's our nation. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe she's worth it. Bones. But now's not the time to hang it up and hunker down at home. Constitution, it isn't just a word. It's a glue that holds a whole damn thing together. Together, together we can make our country proud. Together we'll all stand out from the crowd. There's freedom in our speech. Get on your feet and speak it loud. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe that she's worth it. Freedom in your speech. Get on your feet and sing it loud. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe when it's time to toss the tea, she's worth it. She's worth it.
All right, folks, that wraps up the Sunday edition of John Solomon Reports. A big thank you to all my friends today, Brandon Judd, Congressman Klein, Cash Patel, Michael Falkender, and of course, John Schneider. What a great song. Go download that song and show your love for your country and say thank you to John Schneider. Go download it today. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with a Monday special, President's Day special. It's what I call the CPAC flyover. That's right, CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, is starting on Thursday morning. Match Lap, the grand poobah of CPAC, he's going to kick things off. Abe Hamadeh will be here. Craig Shirley will be here. We'll have a great show. Amanda and I are going to give you the ultimate flyover of what's going to happen at CPAC and also give you a little history about Ronald Reagan's love for CPAC, how it became a haven for young conservatives trying to get their feet under them politically. This is a great show. You won't want to miss it tomorrow. And it'll be a special adapted edition of the TV show. You're going to get a first tier. I hope you enjoy it. God bless and have a great rest of your weekend. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.